So I'm here with Ilya from the SQL Server team. Thanks for joining us, Ilya.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
So what is it that you worked on in SQL Server 2008?
So I had several roles, and the first role was to make sure we are having good model of a development model, which then would allow us to localize SQL Server into whatever languages we want to. And I'm proud to say that we have sim-shipped SQL Server in 11 languages. That includes English plus 10 languages, and that includes also Russian.
So when you say sim-shipped, you mean that when it RTM'd, it was totally localized in all the major
languages? In all languages, because many companies in the industry, they have the gap between the English product release and the localized product release. So we wanted to have everything in one package and delivered to all customers worldwide. So my role was essentially to architect, to make sure we have the tool set, we have the our developers have necessary knowledge to make right decisions, to program, and then to validate the result, because we wanted to make sure that before localization starts, developers could test the result, they could use pseudo localization, which doesn't require actual translators to be involved. It's a cheap way to emulate localization process to make sure that everything is going to be properly localized. Nothing will be like destroyed. No functionality will be destroyed. We won't have any problems with the build system. And so that was my role. And then throughout the product development cycle, I had to work with dozens of improvement teams, essentially like project teams, to make sure it's done properly. And again, if there are some problems or some questions, I'm there to support. And then at the end, essentially, I had nothing to do because everything was done previously and we just released.
Cool. So what were some of the challenges?
Well, the challenges were it's the scale and complexity. So the scale of the product and the number of improvements we had to support, and in general complexity of the product. So different projects or different improvement teams, they had like different requirements, different functionality. So, and I had to deal with not just with them, but also with the infrastructure guys, like the build team. And again, we had to dig into every single detail and then figure out what's the best way of doing this. We didn't want to overwhelm developers, but we wanted to make sure that the goal is achieved. So again, it's a scale, it's complexity, and just in general, like a variety of challenges, maybe.
Sure. You said pseudo-localization is what you're using? What's that?
Pseudo-localization, it's when you're using certain scripts which then convert the English text into something which looks like English text, so that developers, they can still read what it means, but it essentially it uses non-Latin characters. So it could be Cyrillic letters or like, I don't know, Kyrgyz, not Asian, but we also use some Asian characters to make sure that they won't be corrupted when displaying. So, and essentially, it's altering the source string by adding or substituting the characters, the extended characters, and then if we will be able to compile the product after that to build it, and if we don't have any functional breaks, it's good enough. But then developers, they still have to take a look at the resulting user interface and go through all these weird characters and again make sure that it looks okay, because the strings, they're longer, and translator strings, including Russian strings, they are usually like 40% longer, but sometimes they're like 300% longer, and we need to make sure that the UI user interface, it accommodates the length increase. And again, those are the tools. Pseudo localization is the tool which we give developers so that they could emulate length increase and make sure that nothing is corrupted, nothing is truncated, and everything is displayed properly, no functional problems, etc., etc. So if that's done, then most likely, unless we have some weird problems, the localization will be done without problems and smoothly. And again, one of the challenges which I had is to make sure that to produce localized versions of SQL Server, we won't need to change the source code or recompile the source code. So it's a non-compile process, and that was, by the way, another challenge.
Great. So what's the sort of anatomy of a localization project? So developers who might be watching this, and they might not be working on a project that's the scope of something like SQL Server, mm-hmm. but what are some sort of suggestions for doing localization, and how do you go about localizing a product?
It's a very good question. In general, before joining Microsoft, I worked with like dozens of different companies in the industry. And in general, the localization model is that developers, they develop something, and then localizers or translators, they are supposed to do something about it, right? So developers, they usually don't care about how the localization will be done. At Microsoft, I was extremely excited to see that the level of cooperation and support from the development team is totally enormous and impressive. The difference is that Microsoft is considering localization at the very beginning of the development cycle, when a component or some change to the product is still in planning.
Okay.
So then, in terms of how and what the rules or what developers they need to do, it's a set of fundamental rules which sometimes are not obvious. Well, sometimes again they're okay, like the length increase, right? So the strings are usually longer, and I did some investigation for every single English string. I could find a translation in one of the 10 target languages which is longer than the English string. So they are always going to be longer. So unless developers, they design dialogues in a certain way so they are dynamically accommodate the length increase, or they leave some extra space, we will have problems during the localization cycle. And that's one of the examples that's maybe most obvious. And sometimes it's not that obvious. It's about how the characters are handled just in general, how they are displayed. So it's about fonts, colors, and some other parameters which need to be considered. So we had to go through educating developers or reminding them about what they probably knew, and they asked us questions, and we answered those questions again up front. And it was a great investment, which then paid off, because we were able to ship SQL Server in all 10 languages or 11 languages without any significant problems. And I'm proud to see that. Then downstream, Gregor, right, one of the guys, they were able to do the actual localization and translation, and with like minimum amount of problems introduced to the core of SQL Server. And yes, we did have problems, as always. So we learned something new. We had to update, make some changes and adjustments, and again, propagate some new knowledge to the core team. But in general, it went pretty well.
Great. So SQL Server 2008 shipped 2 days ago. Does it feel good?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. It's a different world now. To me, it's slightly different than for the rest of the organization, because I'm working on preparing next releases.
Right.
And there's a number of things which we need to make sure we have done before developers will start just creating next new features. And so that keeps me busy, but still it's a great achievement, great relief. I'm totally happy. I helped to colorize Ted Kummert a couple days ago.
His so hair, right? His orange spray paint.
His hair. I can show that was the plan.
Nice.
I kept the picture, and the picture of Ted's with his
Why don't you hold it up? I don't think everyone really got a chance to see that, so we got a good camera on there. It looked about like that once we were done, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So it was one of the fun moments.
Definitely.
In this release, and Ted is a great guy.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all the hard work, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.